Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly Lachat.
Hey, I'm Leora Baxt.
And I'm Orly Lachat.
And we have our amazing editor here, Amy Hittery.
Hey.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity.
This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms.
And everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just the facts about mental health. Let's talk about it. You feeling scrambled today, Leora?
Listen, today I'm feeling a little scrambled. I think I'm struggling with some stuff and I really want to work through it.
What's some stuff?
I think my spirituality, my connection with God. I want to talk about it. I want to get through it. I want to get down to the nitty gritty.
Nitty gritty of it. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
I think first and foremost, we should define spirituality.
All right, Orly, define it.
Spirituality is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things.
Okay, so what do you think, like, what is your take on that? Do you think, are you taking the definition super literally, or do you think there's some alternative meanings?
I think it's, what I take from that is just like, we're in this physical material world, but there's something bigger than us. Something bigger than us controlling everything.
Do you think that you often allow yourself to kind of follow in the footsteps of like that bigger thing?
Yeah, I think.
Holding their hand. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I think for me, like how I look at this world is that it's so heavy. Like I don't think there's any physical way that us humans can tackle everything that is thrown at us in this world without being like, there's something out there that's controlling all this. And all I can control is these certain things. Because It kind of like believing in something bigger takes off the weight from your shoulders.
100%.
You can't like take everything on yourself.
I remember elementary school, maybe going into middle school, like fifth, sixth grade, based off of what you just said, how like having a connection with God allows you to feel like not stressed, because it's like, think of your parents. Like when you have a problem when you were younger, you knew without a doubt, you always have your parents there to help you get out of a situation, out of a problem. Like you always have that person, just kind of like imagine like someone behind you and their hand is on your shoulder like that. So like my parents were always there for me, and I always picked up my shit, you know? And I think that we'll get more into it, and obviously like how to do it and our journeys and stuff like that, but allowing yourself to have that person putting their hand on your shoulder allows you to really just walk proudly and confidently and know that you are going to fall back, and you're going to fall back on something, on someone, something bigger than you.
Yeah.
And I think that's super powerful to like lead you in life.
100%. Because if you're constantly, like to go with that, like if you're constantly worried about things that you can't even control, and like you don't have something bigger or something like, let's say, a step above you to take that weight off, you can't succeed in this life.
No. Like, I think people feel very lost.
Yeah.
I've actually been told before, like, yeah, I don't really have a connection with God, but that kind of makes me feel a little lost. I think for me, I remember kind of like going in and out of religion in terms of my spirituality and like what I wanted to do, what I wanted to believe, that whole journey. But I remember when I did feel connected to God and I was like consistently praying. That's something I really found, like, I loved doing that. It made me feel really close to God. When I was doing that, I did feel like my head was on my shoulders and that I was navigating life properly and that my life had structure. But I remember when I started kind of asking questions and going out into the world and maybe not doing the right thing in terms of like in alignment with the Torah, or which is our Bible. And I did realize the disconnect I really felt the disconnect. And I remember like having a conversation with one of my rabbis, and I was just like, why do I feel disconnected? Like, if I'm not doing all these laws that are really hard for me to do. And, you know, he gave me kind of like the simplest answer of like what we were just saying. When you're connected to God, when you have a spiritual connection to God, which equals a relationship with him, despite doing like performing the laws and stuff, you don't feel lost. You just don't feel lost.
Yeah. So you feel a little more seen also.
100%. That's a great, yeah, you feel seen. Yeah. I like that.
And like taken care of. I don't know.
Yeah, literally like that's how parents. I feel. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Did you ever like resent religion though in terms of that? And did that like lead you into be more spiritual?
Yeah. So my parents are Baal Tshuva, which I'll explain. They didn't grow up religious. They found it on their own. And when they had my sister, they decided to become religious, meaning they decided to keep kosher. They decided to keep Shabbat and like all the rules. And for me, it was really hard growing up because I always felt a disconnect with the rules. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest child. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like rules. I don't like following other people's rules. And I would always ask questions. I was like, why are we doing this? Why is, like, if it Shabbat's a day of rest, why am I not resting by watching Netflix, you know?
Right.
So in, like, sixth grade, I stopped keeping those rules and I was really disconnected. All throughout high school, I just felt really disconnected from the world. I isolated myself. I was doing very bad things. And
do you think that was because of, like, confidence as well, or literally because of how strict religion was in your eyes at the time?
I think it all stemmed from the religion thing.
Okay.
Because that was my whole childhood.
Yeah.
And like, we all know your childhood messes you up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I got to Israel and I lived here that I realized that your relationship with God and being a good Jew isn't quantified in terms of how many of the laws you keep.
Yeah, it's not all or nothing. And I think a lot of people think, like, I guess technically we could say it is. It is all or nothing. We have a Torah, we have a Bible, we have laws. You have to follow them. But also, sometimes you find a Jew or a religious person in any religion, and they're not a good person, but yet they're following the rules.
Yeah.
So I think that also is a big thing. Yeah, I feel like that kind of
understanding why.
Yeah.
Let's say people on the extreme side of religion are considered so holy in the eyes of God, but they're bad people. And that to me just didn't make sense. So it wasn't until I like came on my gap year and started living in Israel that I understood that being a good Jew is being a good human. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I think it stems from the all or nothing thing.
Yeah, good morals, being a good human, and putting good things out into this world. Mm-hmm. I think that's what God wants from us.
And I feel like in turn from that, like, you're gonna wanna like serve God more. Do you have a take, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Like, also, I think it's where people put the focus a lot of the time. Like, mm-hmm. there are just as many laws in Judaism on being a good person and yep. on how you act in relation to the people around you, with yourself. It's not just about like the details of how your Shabbat table looks, right? Yeah. Or like what exactly you're eating. Like, okay, it's part of it, but there's so much more that is never focused on. Where I think then that's, I think, where people get lost, in the sense where they forget that that's what spirituality and religion is all about. That's what bringing God into this world and into your life is all about.
Right.
I definitely think that that's a shift that needs to be made more in terms of like raising kids in the world. Like, the fact that you even said, like, when you grew up, that's how you were exposed to Judaism and to a relationship with God, right? But then the minute you didn't want to keep those specific laws, you suddenly like didn't really see God in your life as much, right?
And it's a
like,
shame.
It's a shame that they're equated that way, right? Yeah. Like, it should be shown to kids that, like, no matter what, God is in your life, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's there as much as you want to see him. It's not about, it's not conditional.
No.
And that's the whole idea is like,
the misconception people yeah. have. It's like, oh, I'm not doing good, I'm not following the laws, God's not here. God's yeah. there.
He's totally there.
He's there when you're doing bad, when you're doing good, you're not doing anything at all.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem that a lot of people have now and when raising their kids is like they kind of shove it, they kind of shove religion down their throat in a way, you know? And it's, for me, I resented my parents and I resented Judaism for the longest time. And I was like, why is this happening? And it, when I was on my own, I decided to let go of that resentment towards everyone. Mm-hmm. And now I am doing things that I connect to for myself. I started lighting Shabbat candles since this war broke out. Like, I just want to feel more connected and doing things that work for me, you know? I talk to God. I don't pray, but I talk to God every
day. That's your prayer.
That's your prayer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I find ways to connect to God on my own. And I took that kind of, like, raised in a religious house. Like, I took the negatives of it and I turned it into, like, I let go of that shit and I turned it into something beautiful for myself.
And that's, I mean, essentially, I think that's the point, right? Because the minute you can do that for yourself, you're going to be the best version of yourself in this world. And that's what I think the laws have tried to do for a lot of people. But I don't think that that works for everyone, you know, in that specific way.
No, but it also takes, like, kind of a hard journey through it all, through, like, questioning religion, questioning how you were raised, all these things, just to kind of come to the conclusion that, like, we're, help me with the words, help me find the words, like, we're just trying to find this, like, we're all in it for the same reason, is what I'm trying to say. And, like, although, like, yes, like, there's some parents out there that are shoving it down their kids' throats, and there's some parents there that are, like, not doing much. And then you have the child who's kind of trying to figure it out on their own. So, like, us, you know, us not being 100% connected throughout, like, high school and, like, asking the questions. And, like, at the end of the day, what makes it so amazing, I think, is that no matter what someone believes or someone does, like, we're all in this together. And, like, we're all,
like, have the same goal.
Yeah, we all have the same goal. And I think most people just want to be a good person. And I think people have a hard time understanding that, like, you don't have to be this, like, religious, intense, you know, Jew or religious person in order to be a good person.
I have a loaded question for you. Why do you think good things happen, like, bad things happen to good people?
Bad things happen to good people.
What do you think that's about?
Well, I think also it's about the bigger picture. I think it's about being able to learn from your mistakes, number one. It's like a huge thing. Like, when we've been mentioning, like, kind of believing in someone, holding someone's hand and, like, believing in something bigger than us, like, that's what it means. Like, just because something bad happened to you doesn't mean that God is, like, pointing a gun at your face and being like, you're a bad person, so I made this happen to you. No, it just means you need to learn a lesson, A. B, like, we're not perfect. We're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes.
I think also, like, a huge thing that I've learned over the past 2-3 years is that God challenges the people that he cares about the most. Because if he wasn't to challenge us, then what's the point of this life, you know? Yeah. And I think also he created each and every one of us with a maximum and a minimum.
Yeah.
My maximum could be somebody else's minimum. Somebody else's maximum could be my minimum, you know? Yeah. Everybody's capable of handling certain things and whatever. And that also, like, that kind of mindset also helps you within your relationships.
Of course.
Realizing this person can't give me that and this person can give me that. And God created each and every single one of us in the way he saw fit, and he challenges us in, like, each and every one of us in the way that he sees fit.
Yeah.
And that, in turn, like, all the hard shit that you go through, yeah, and you're like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
First of all, it builds character.
Yeah, it does.
Trauma literally builds character. But also, it just makes you, it's how you react to it. All you can control in this world is how you react to that. And so if you react to it and be like, okay, well, I'm getting over it and I want to now
be put better,
good things out into the world and be better. And, like, sometimes bad things happen to you so you can take a look into your life and be like, what am I doing wrong?
It's a lesson.
It's a lesson.
God's being like, I'm literally helping you out.
Of course.
You know? I think that's what it means.
100%.
Like, overall.
And in the moment, it's really hard to see it, but
yeah,
you have to constantly remind yourself, like, there's a bigger picture that I might not see now, I might not see for 5 years, I might not see for 10 years, and I may never see it. But there is a bigger picture out there, and every little section of your life is a little puzzle piece, let's say. And it all, whether or not you want to see it, it all connects into this beautiful picture.
Of course. Kind of taking it back to the point with like all or nothing and like people following the book and not necessarily like following good morals and values. So my sister's ex-boyfriend, he was a dedicated Jew. Like, he always wears kippahs. He always wore a button down on Shabbat. Kept kosher. Kept Shabbat. Like, whatever. All the laws. All the modern Orthodox laws.
Modox.
But on the flip side, he was not a good person whatsoever. Like, unfortunately, yes, okay. You know, people are raised in certain ways in unfortunate circumstances, but take that all out. He was not a good person. It confused me, actually, when I, like, met him and was also going through the process of, like, figuring out religion, and still am. And I was just like, you keep everything, but you don't have a connection with God.
Yeah.
Tell me, like, make that make sense. Tell me what's up. And I think that was, like, my, like, even now, I think that's my biggest question. Like, okay, like, you can be following the laws, but you're not doing good for the world or for yourself. So, like, how does that make you a good Jew?
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, I have a funny story about that. My mom was coming back from Israel, and she was on the flight, and they were, like, lining up to get into the flight, and this Hasidish guy, or, like, an ultra-extremist Jew, he was wearing, like, a black hat, everything, like, he starts cutting, or she was on her way to Israel or something. He starts cutting the line, and my mom turns around and goes, "Because of you, the whole world hates us."
No,
because why are you doing that?
Right,
like, you still have to be a
Chilul Hashem is what we call it.
Exactly, you still have to be a good human and put good things out into the world.
Yeah, right. Especially when externally it's like clearly visible that you are a Jew. Right, if you're going to be someone that is going to dress the part, or you know, I mean. It's hard with communities like that because that's all they know, you know? But yes, they should know that that's how they're viewed in the world. Though they're the representatives of Judaism to people that have no idea.
Because of how they look.
Yeah, so that does get hard. I think, like, something that I... Because that's a common question that I think everybody has, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to do everything and look the part and act the part... Why, like, how can you do that without having a connection, without truly internalizing, right?
Yeah.
The connection and the meaning behind everything. And I think something I've heard that it does start to make sense a little bit to me, like, now it's starting to make sense that, like, so many people, I think, want to be there, right? They're striving. And so for people that it's harder for them to start internally, they start doing all of these external things to see if it'll impact them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I start to change my actions,
maybe it'll
eventually seep in and it'll hit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that stage that's really confusing for the outsider to see, because it's frustrating. Right. You're not there yet.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we all are people that have our own strengths and weaknesses. And I think it becomes a really difficult question because it's all very relative, you know, like for someone that might just be like their default and they don't even realize, which is part of the problem, that they don't even realize that, like, that's not what it's about. Right. And there's so much, and people are looking at you in a certain way when you are going to be like present yourself as religious or following or holding.
Right.
So I think for them, it's more important to really make sure that they're not being hypocritical, right? Or they're not, like, putting out something different.
Right.
But
I get that. I do get that. Like, kind of making it, putting into literal terms and then going into, like, figurative terms. Like, what you're saying, internal and external.
Yeah.
But
they just shouldn't forget about the internal.
100%. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other week, and connected to this, I'll give, like, kind of an analogy, kind of like a map. Like, so, for example, the ground, the earth, where we live, where we breathe, this is where we have our morals, we have our values, we do our good deeds, we follow the laws of whatever religion
you are. It's our physical world.
It's our physical world, okay? And then you have gap, right? You have a gap, the massive...
The sky.
And then you have God, right? Because it's an illusion, but we have, God is up there. God is everywhere, but God is up there.
Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly there. Sorry, I had to.
I had to. So the analogy, kind of not analogy, is that this gap that I've just explained is spirituality. The gap is spirituality. So in order to reach God's presence, this connectedness to God, you need to understand what this gap is. This gap is spirituality. It means internalizing, like, your reasoning for, you know, putting your faith in God and in a bigger thing. I can't, like, I don't know, there's so many words to use for God, but, like, if you understand this gap, if you understand that in order for you to kind of take away, like, physical and, like, I don't know how to explain this because it's like
go on the ladder up.
Yeah, like, if any, like, for all the Jews out there, with whose ladder was that?
Yosef.
Yosef's ladder, like, that. Like, if anyone's seen that, like, one picture, like, illustration with his dream... The dreams and the ladder.
With the rocks.
The rocks and his head on the rocks. And literally that ladder is spirituality. Being able to be like, I'm climbing. I trust you, God.
Or even like a string.
Even a string.
Yeah, like.
Could be whatever you want it
to be. An imaginary string that you like, that you're holding onto and he's holding onto from his end.
Exactly. It's a pretty cool analogy.
I like that analogy. Going on a ladder up. Building your relationship with God. Honestly, like, kind of related, kind of not. You know when you're, like, on dating apps and you see their religion and you have to, like, make sure they're Jewish or whatever? Because, like...
Yeah.
So, like, if a guy writes he's atheist, like, it's just an immediate no for me. Because I need him to, like, understand that part of me.
Well, obviously.
I hear you. No, because it's about finding someone like-minded in the sense where they can connect to something greater than them, right? Where they can leave the physical world and connect to something, like, more spiritual.
Yeah, I also, like, I need to a guy who understands the way I was raised and why I am the way I am now and, like, not needing to explain, let's say, Shabbat every week or, like, not needing to explain the way I grew up every time something like that comes around, you know? Or, like, when I want to take him home to meet my parents or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, for the listeners and also us, like, how do we think... Where we are now, this is a question for all of us, where we are now in terms of our spirituality, how do you think, or what do you think is a next step to either maintain or intensify our spirituality or better our spirituality? Shoot some things out.
I always thought, and we kind of touched on this in the beginning, I always thought that being a good Jew, again, going back to what we said, was like being a good Jew meant keeping all the rules. And so then I wanted to keep no rules, right?
Right.
And now I'm kind of getting to the
point
where,
like,
exactly. Now I'm kind of getting to the point where what I said about lighting Shabbat candles or making a Shabbat meal every week or making challah or, like,
it's also like the principles,
things like that, or, like, yeah, or like saying the prayer of traveling every time I'm on a plane or little things like that that I do. I think the rest of my life is going to be filled with taking on what feels right for me. And, like, understanding why I'm taking that thing on.
Right.
I think for me, it's become, like, just being really intentional.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think the whole point is the constant conversation and the constant relationship, which comes with always internalizing what you're going through. Like, your day-to-day, everything. Everything that happens in your life. And really, like, not being either all or nothing, but being intentional with what you do and why you do it. And yeah, like, we all have our strengths and weaknesses and differences. And I think just being able to tap into them and knowing what you need and what you don't is really important. And as long as you can focus on that and truly hear and listen to yourself and listen out for God, because he's speaking to you always, you know? And as long as you can do that, then it's an uphill.
You're set.
It's uphill, you know? It's all uphill.
But yeah, so that actually brings up not a story, but just a little anecdote. I was in Jewish school. I had a Chumash teacher, which is essentially just Jewish history. Yeah, we just learned about Jewish history. And I asked her when we had prayer in the morning, and I said, I don't really know what this means. And it was at the time where, you know, Judaism was so ingrained in me, and like I didn't really know anything else. I wasn't asking questions yet. I was just Jewish, you know, like I was Orthodox. I didn't know anything better. I didn't know anything worse. And I asked her, I was like, I don't really understand this. Like, can I say it in English? Like, does it mean the same to God if I say it in English? And she basically was like, okay, she gave two things. So she was a very extremist teacher. So she was like, listen, it's preferable if you're saying it in Hebrew, obviously, like it's the language that you use to speak to God. But on the other hand, like you're allowed to say it in English and it means the same thing and God is still hearing your words. So even though she said like, okay, maybe it's more preferable in the actual language written down, I took it as like, all right, like I can pray my own way. And I think from then on, whether it was from the actual Siddur prayer book or it was just in general, like I'd be playing soccer games in high school and literally like during our 2 second break that we had, I would look up at God. I'm sure the audience was like, what is this girl doing looking at butterflies? And I'd be like, let me score. And I never did. And I was, and I was like, God, why are you not listening? No, it's dumb. But like, from then on, I started speaking to God. And now, kind of the question I just asked earlier, and what you said about being intentional. So for me, like, yeah, it's just like intensifying whatever I do now and making it more meaningful. So also kind of combining all your answers, like lighting candles for me, I've done it since I was really young, but I learned that it was one of the most holy times to talk to God for a woman. And from then on, it's 5 minutes of complete silence and complete devotion to God. And for me and him to just have a great conversation before Shabbat, before the Sabbath. And I think that's something, I'm just combining your answers, like being intentional and like really kind of like being really into the conversation with God. Like you're having a conversation with your parent or your friend.
Yeah. You know? Actually, your little anecdote made me think of something. I think what I really struggled with growing up in my Jewish school was that they would constantly tell us, like, Judaism is all about asking questions. So then I would ask these questions and I'd be like, why are we doing this? And then they would say, like, because God said so. And so in my head, that was like, why are we doing it if God says so? Like, give me a real answer. I want to know why. And that's also, I think, not a good approach to, like, making kids want to keep the rules or whatever.
But. Yeah. On that note, also, I mean, in terms of like questions not being answered properly, I think an idea that I've really been like taking in myself is like, someone said this to me once, is that just because there are stupid Jews doesn't mean Judaism is stupid. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think you can take that into anything.
Anything.
And with that, it's kind of like you make it your own responsibility to learn more, right? To like learn more about the questions we're asking and about the potential answers that they are, right? Don't stop at one question just because there's an answer that throws you the wrong way, right?
Like, yeah.
If it's something that is meaningful to you or that you want to, clearly you have that fascination in this idea, right? So keep looking until you're happy with the response, because there's an idea that there is, like, I think it's 70 facets to the Bible, right? Meaning like, there are so many meanings, like it's so deep. And I think that's really forgotten when we try and like bring it into this physical world.
I think especially nowadays.
Spirituality.
Yeah. Especially nowadays where everything's so misconstrued and like not even religion wise, just like people look at, let's say, Instagram or social media for their facts and whatever. And like within Judaism, you could be looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, 100%. I remember walking up to my rabbi, who I very much like admire and love and look up to, and still I'm in contact with him today. But I went into his office in school and I was like, Rav, like I'm struggling. Like I'm so disconnected. I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. Because I knew like, hey, there's shiurim, like classes, you know, one-on-one learning opportunities, and like it just wasn't calling my name. But he kept saying what you were saying, like, just keep going with it, find what connects to you, like, it will happen, it will click. And, but just like a relationship, you have to put effort in. Otherwise, like you know, obviously nothing's going to come from it. Like, you have to, with God, it's literally the same as any relationship you are in. Boy, girl, family, parent, whatever. You need to make the effort and you need to continue searching for the right answers. And but the awesome thing about this relationship is that it never dies. It never goes away. And God is for sure never running away from you. You might run far, far away, but you'll never actually reach, like, you know, an end. Like, he's there, which is really cool. And I think that kind of, for me, keeps me going. Because it's like, I'm fooling myself. I'm kidding myself if I think, like, okay, running away is going to be an answer. Like, I have ingrained in me too deep down that, like, I'll ever give up on that. Because, like, oftentimes we have bad relationships with our parents in moments in our lives. Like, ugh, teenage years. Like, ugh, I want nothing to do with you. But you know they're never going away. You know they're there, which is an amazing feeling at the end of the day.
It's kind of like when people go on vacation to run away from their problems and their problems just follow them on vacation. You can't just run away from your relationship with God because he's constantly going to be there, like what you were saying.
Whether you want to see it or not, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So true.
That's what I love about Judaism too, is that, like, you could be so messed up for a couple of years and, like, you always have that chance to fix yourself and get back to that place. Yeah. And, like, it's not all or nothing. It's not like, oh, you messed up for a year, like, and you can go back to it.
You can right your wrongs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it will look different to everyone. It's not, there isn't one way to have a connection.
Of course.
But yeah, I think also just like, after speaking to different people and like learning from different people, like, you realize the alternative isn't better. People don't believe in God. You don't have to believe in God. You can't prove him, mm-hmm. just like you can't disprove him, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just what it is. Yeah, you can choose to live a life where you see him, right? And that's, I think, constantly looking for a solution, constantly looking for the light, constantly looking for being future-oriented. I think when you don't see him, things can get really negative really quickly. And I've definitely noticed that. So yeah, it's down to the individual. Are you going to choose to see him or not? Are you going to choose to live a life of more meaning or mm-hmm. not?
To wrap this up, I just want to go over the main points we talked about. Is like, number one, you don't need to keep all the rules to be a good person. Just be a good person.
Not all or nothing, man.
It's not all or nothing. Number two, there's a bigger picture, and like, believe in that when you're going through the hardest of time. Sometimes everything piles on so that you can have the best come to you like next, you know? There's a bigger picture. Even in like the hardest of times, you have to understand that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, there's a bigger picture and everything is falling into place the way it needs to be.
Yeah. And also remember that allowing yourself to believe in something bigger is only beneficial. It's only going to benefit you. It really is only going to benefit you. And just don't take it so literally and like, ugh, if I do the wrong thing, I'm going to be punished by this greater thing, this bigger thing than me. No. If anything, it's this, whatever this is, God, he is going to guide you in the right direction, and you are going to thank him every day for it once you just kind of fall down into his arms. I know that sounds so like deep and spiritual, hence the podcast episode name, but still, it's really important to understand that it feels good to hold someone's hand in this life.
100%.
In this little
life. Also, last thing, all you can do in this world is control your reactions to things.
Yep.
Let God control the rest. It's not in your hands.
Should I go off right now?
Go off. <I'm kidding. laughs> I do want to hear an egg fact before we leave.
Okay, so I'll go off.
Okay, go off.
So, storing eggs upside down makes them last longer.
What?
Placing the pointy end down in the carton will prevent air pockets inside the shell from coming in contact with the yolk, which helps slow down the aging process.
That's so interesting.
Me and Amy are roommates. Should we start doing that?
Whoa.
We're gonna tell our third roommate, Zoe, she'll be like, dude, what the fuck? Like, that's not we're not doing that.
Where she's gonna, we're gonna put in the egg, the whole entire carton upside
down.
She's
gonna be like,
why? She's gonna open it. They're all gonna fall out of the bottom. She's gonna be like, who did this? They're gonna be like, that lasts longer.
The egg. Get ready for a surprise when you're home.
That was just excellent.
That was excellent.
I loved that.
Orly, are you feeling scrambled still?
I'm not feeling scrambled.
Me neither.
I'm feeling like I'm on top of the world right now.
I know. And God has a good day in store for us today. So
choose a sunny side.
Let's follow him and yeah.
Have an excellent day.
Peace and love.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly LaChapelle.